Hi, everybody. It's Pam. It's Friday, March 27th, 2020. I am bringing you another short, brief, solo podcast episode as kind of a follow-on to last week's episode, where I shared some ideas for perhaps what we could do to get through these trying times a little bit more smoothly. I had shared some of my feelings about the need for trying to label and identify what it is that we're feeling, because I believe that when we can talk about what it is, it certainly makes it easier to process, and then, you know, move on from emotions, particularly the ones that we identify as being negative emotions. We can move on from those kind of making us feel stuck, like in that hamster wheel, just spinning and going nowhere. So I wanted to just kind of like talk today about the phenomenon I'm seeing online, that people who stutter and others in the stuttering community, we're alone because we're physically facing these unprecedented times of lockdown and self-isolation. Yeah, we're alone, but we're alone together. And I think that's really important to just voice that and label that, because I think it's really important that we stay in touch and hear each other as much as we can. You know, that whole concept of alone but together, for me, was greatly magnified this week when I saw like an explosion of people who stutter and those who don't just checking in more with each other, starting some dialogue questions. How are you feeling? What are you doing to help yourself and your families get through this process? I've seen people, you know, being really honest and sharing with each other, and I've seen more opportunities for video chats coming up, and people are embracing technology like Zoom and Skype, Messenger, video chat. You know, people are embracing this as a way to move forward in this. I think it's also really important. I came across a great article one day this week that talked about grief being what it is that we're feeling for many of us. And at first I kind of was like, well, what does that mean? Like grief. I'm not particularly grieving anyone. No one that is close to me has physically been affected by this yet or passed away. So why would grief be relevant? And as I thought about it more, I think that we're all grieving normalcy. We're grieving what we had just 3 weeks ago, compared to the stark reality of today, the end of March, where many of us are home, alone, isolated, with opportunities for our minds to and our imaginations to run wild. So I was happy to actually see that article, and I'll post the link to it later, so that you'll be able to read that if you're interested. But yes, we are grieving. I think in the United States, where I'm from, many of us Americans are grieving the loss of smart, dependable leadership, and we're, you know, grieving the loss of kind of not having somebody have our back. And for many of us, we feel like we're fending for ourselves on our own. But I think for the stuttering community, as I briefly alluded to last week, you know, we're grieving those connections. We're not able to physically get together and you know, sit down face to face with other people who stutter and talk about what's going on, share our feelings. For me, I tend to be a very physically affectionate person, so I like to give my friends hugs and I like that physical proximity. So I am definitely grieving that. But I think that we're also grieving the collective spaces that we had for people who stutter, that now have come to a halt. In the US, the major stuttering advocacy association, the National Stuttering Association, which has local chapters across the country, has put a message out that those are on hold. They're on pause, and the NSA doesn't want anybody conducting physical chapter meetings. And there's a real sense of loss there, I think. But I'm also seeing at the same time, people are, you know, maybe many for the first time are using technology to get that connection and that togetherness that I think we're all craving. In addition to that, I think there's a lot of fear. In addition to grief and all the other emotions that we're feeling. And it reminded me of a time where I had on my hands a very serious situation. My partner at the time was quite ill, and one day when I was home with him, he had kind of collapsed on the floor. So I needed to call for help. I needed to call for an ambulance, but I was so paranoid to pick up the phone, and call 911 and request help, because I knew that I would not be able to say the word ambulance without stuttering, and I didn't want to take that risk. So the first person that I called in that situation was my mom, And I told my mom what was going on, and she said, you've got to get somebody there. And I said, can you please come over? And I don't think she really understood the gravity that I was placing on this situation. And so she did. She got over here, in the place that I was at the time, and she saw what was happening with him, and she said, he needs to get to an emergency room ASAP. And I begged her to please be the one to call 911. I'll never forget that. Honestly, that I had made a choice, a specific life or death choice, really, that when I look back on it, to not call for medical emergency help because I was so handcuffed by the fear of not being able to get out what I needed. Thankfully, since then, I've never done that again. But I'm also not in the same situation. I'm single now and living by myself. But I think that was a really stark moment of grief and fear. That kind of took over how my rational sense of thinking and took over a choice that needed to be made immediately. So as we're locked behind closed doors, and as we're alone, as many of us are, if we don't have immediate family with us, it can very much feel like we're struggling alone. But just the phenomenon of being alone together, I think is worth listening to, is worth reflecting on. And I think that what we can do for each other, being a comfort for each other, checking in for each other, will provide those little glimmers of hope that we're all looking for, that we're all needing, and that we're realizing that we may have to produce those moments ourselves and for each other. So I just wanted to just take another opportunity this week to just again offer my thoughts on grief, being alone together, reminding you that really we're not alone. It may seem like it, and it may feel like that. God, it feels like that. I haven't been out in days, and it just really feels so isolating. But listening to other people and offering ways to connect through Skype and Zoom, and hearing how people are, moving forward and making it, I do think offers some of that hope that I need, that you need, that we all need, and will help us get through the even greater trying times that are indeed ahead for us. So, continue to reach out and support each other. Continue to believe that it's okay to feel all that you're feeling, and try to, again, put names to those feelings, so that there's an easier way to process them and acknowledge them. And I, for one, find it easier to move through something when it's concrete in a way. So, you know, look at the article if you're interested on identifying grief in the many ways that we're feeling, and the importance of checking in and making sure that we're together in these moments when we feel like we're alone. Thanks for listening. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. Na, 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 na.